up to yonder, beyond the lights, neon, fluorescent. My essence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so highly, anointed and portrait I might be. This is that all that podcast featuring Kyrie.
Welcome back to the All That Podcast. Today I have my cousin with me.
What's up?
Oh, she's been ready to be on the podcast, and I've been, my bad, Daisa, for making the wait so long. But we are here.
We're here.
We are here, and we are here to have a very necessary, necessary conversation. It might, I won't say, it won't ruffle feathers, but it's just a real conversation.
A little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but yeah. It's just a real conversation that, you know, we need to have, not only, you know, coming from our family, but also from every family. And that is the topic of generational curses.
A tough one.
Yes, but a real one at the same time. So we've been discussing this back and forth a lot. I mean, I talk about this topic a lot myself because it's something that's very real. So hopefully by the end of the conversation, we would have given you some direction on how to break the curse and also become cognizant of that the curse is there in the first place. So what made you want to, you know, talk about this topic so much?
Ooh, last year, I believe it was during the summer, I actually took a healing class that was introduced to me by my church. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, in that class, I was able to recognize just some generational curses that I had been walking through and didn't even realize that they honestly were generational curses. You know, we just walk around thinking that these things are normal, but that's not normal. That's not a normal way of living. And,
right.
You know, even in me praying, God revealed them to me, you know, a few of them to me before I even started taking the class. So it was just like, I'm like, if I'm dealing with this, I know everybody else out here is dealing with the same thing.
Right. So do you want to get right into it and say what exactly was it that you know, it clicked for you and pinpoint exactly what those were? You don't have to go into it deep if you don't want to, but just kind of give us an overview.
I was actually walking in my neighborhood and was talking to God, and I was like, you know, God, there's just some things that I've just been experiencing in life overall, and, you know, I just want you to really just to reveal to me some of those things, you know, so that I can learn how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he revealed to me that depression and anxiety was a generational curse that was in my family. You know, I thought I was just dealing with these things alone. But just, you know, as I was walking and talking to him, he started revealing to me, you know, this person dealt with it, that person dealt with it. And, you know, having a few sidebar conversations with my mom, it was something that she struggled with. And I was just like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
She did. They did. I am. Nah, this is a whole generational curse. And I'm like, this has got to stop. And I was just like, yeah. You know, what else am I walking in and not knowing that, you know, this is a generational curse?
Right.
So, and even I had a conversation with a cousin of mine, and she was like, do you know that all of the women in our family are, you know, they all had a kid before they got married? And I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's another generational curse. I'm like, we walking around not knowing that we have these things attached to our lives,
mm-hmm.
and they have to stop somewhere, right? We've got to learn to recognize that we're actually walking in these curses. This is not something that you're supposed to be walking through in daily life. God doesn't want us with these burdens on us, but we're going to keep walking with them on us until we actually recognize that we're walking around with these different burdens in our lives, and they're happening from generation to generation.
Right.
So if you don't have these conversations with your families, you're eventually not going to ever know that you're walking around with this curse on your life.
That's what I was about to say. I think that one big proponent of, you know, recognizing a generational curse and eventually getting past it is the generation before you mm-hmm. being transparent with information.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like in our family, that has not been the case.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I know a lot of things just because I'm around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you just pick up things and you hear things and, you know, and I'm kind of a person that people talk to. So I get information that way. Mm-hmm. But as far as just being, you know, outright just transparent and real about situations mm-hmm. that happen, I feel like it's not that. And it's just not our family. And we can just tie it down to the Black community, because that's
exactly
what we know, is that, you know, even that saying, you know, what goes on in his house
stays
in his house. And I think that is so, I mean, it could be necessary in some cases, but
yeah.
I feel like the idea of that has hurt us mm-hmm. more than it's helped us.
I think us as a Black community, mm-hmm. That alone right there, that saying is a generational curse.
Right.
You know, what goes on in this family, we're not talking about nothing else.
Yeah.
Whatever you see somebody else doing, don't bring that in this house. Mm-hmm. That alone is a generational curse.
Right.
I believe we've been taught, you know, as a Black community, that we're not supposed to be open and having, you know, having different types of conversations. And mm-hmm. this is why where we are in 2022, we're still stuck in the same generational curse, the same cycle, because we've been taught not to express our feelings, not to have these conversations about what went on back in the day, because I feel as though we try to hold this standard
mm-hmm.
Of being good, but per se, you ain't been good all your life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just like people get healed from you expressing your past experiences.
You can't heal what you never reveal.
And that's a mm-hmm. good thing right there. If I never talk about what I actually have gone through,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be able to help the person, you know, coming after me. And this,
right.
I don't fault, you know, my family. I don't, because we were all raised this way. And they're only going to raise us the way that they were taught.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, trying to come out of those old ways of thinking and moving into a new way of thinking is mm-hmm. kind of hard, but it's so necessary, especially for the generation that's coming up, you know, behind us, because the generation behind even me, you know, they not for the, you know, we ain't gonna talk about it. No, they want to know.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Why do I have to do such and such? My
right.
generation was just like, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that was it. But, you know, as we became adults, it was like, why my mama told me not to do this, but mm-hmm. she doing that,
right.
you know? So I just really believe that it's just, you know, a time and a place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything doesn't have to be revealed right up front. I do say that, you know, at certain ages, things need to be talked about with people's kids.
Yeah.
And even as grownups, because even as our parents get older, they tend to have these conversations because they're like, oh, I remember when such and such and such and such. And then you be like, wait a minute, you did such and such. Well,
yeah.
I didn't know. That's why I was dealing with such and such.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened with me when I was having a conversation with my mom and not knowing some of the things that transpired in the family. I was like, wait a minute, that ain't such and such mama. That ain't such and such mm-hmm. uncle. A lot of that stuff was swept under the rug because we were all taught we don't talk about it.
Right.
That.
What goes on in this house stays in this house.
So it's just like, you know, as a grown up, now I'm like, wait a minute, my gears are going
mm-hmm.
and I'm putting two and two together, you know, because when we were younger, we weren't allowed to be in conversations with grown folks.
Right.
And I still do agree with
yeah.
certain conversations not being had in front
For
of
sure.
kids.
Yeah.
But it's still like we sitting out here in the unknown, not knowing.
Yeah.
Why things are transpiring in our lives as kids, as teenagers, and now as full adults who are having kids.
Right.
And now our kids are dealing with it.
Yep. And from a different angle also is that I feel like parents do, you know, try to hide things for a multitude of reasons. But one reason is that they try to stay in a good light in your
mm-hmm.
eyes because
mm-hmm.
they know how you see them. But what happens is they hide all that stuff for all that time. We get older. We find out. And now we're looking at you different.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because we had you on such a high pedestal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we found out this information and it's like, wow, that the, you are not what I thought you were.
Exactly.
But if you just be real from the get-go,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even like exposing all your business because, you know, children can't
handle,
you know,
all
handle
that,
all that, yeah, in the first place. But, you know, just when the time comes to have that conversation, mm-hmm, you know, just having it. Just be real. Like, hey, when I was this age, you're at, I was dealing with the same thing you were dealing,
yeah,
with. This is how I handled it. This is how I should have handled it. Mm-hmm. This is how you should handle it. You know, that those kind of things. So we both come from a Christian background. And, you know, generational curses, like, it can be, you know, people can look at it very surface level. Mm-hmm. But the moment that I knew it was something even bigger, is like spiritual or even biological, mm-hmm, is when, so my brother, one of my brothers did not really come around us until he was 10 years old, mm-hmm, right? So he had never been around, like, ever, mm-hmm, right? So he comes around at 10 years old. I'm looking at him. He has the same mannerisms, movements, and actions as my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Never been around him, but it's there.
Yeah.
So that was like, when I, you know, look back on that, I was like, you know, you can be hit with something from somebody that you never even met.
Yep.
That generational curse can meet you from what your great-great-great-grandfather, yep, did, and now you're dealing with it now, which, yep, is a whole nother conversation, you know, on the spiritual aspect of it.
I just, that's a whole, that right there is a whole nother ballpark within itself because, yeah, you know, our grandparents, they don't tend to remember,
mm-hmm,
everything that they went through as kids and, you know, great, everybody's great-grandparents aren't around.
Right.
So it's like having to navigate through those things through your parents and then try to navigate through it through your grandparents and have them try to remember, you know, this, 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 and that. And, you know, just having a conversation with my grandma, I was just like, wait a minute. How many kids she had? Because growing up, and this was just a surprise to me, I never knew how many siblings my grandmother actually had.
Yeah.
I thought these people were her cousins. And yeah, I was like, that's your brother?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, who did you think he was? I was like, I don't know. I thought this man was a cousin.
Yeah.
Like, those things weren't talked about because it was like, back in the day, everybody had, not everybody, but some people had different fathers. Some, mm-hmm, people had different mothers. And it was just like, you know, they never talked about,
yeah,
it. So they didn't, either they didn't talk about it or they didn't come around. And I was just like, wait a minute. Here's a whole another level of confusion.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Not only was that happening back in the day, but bring it back to present time, it's like, that's a whole generational curse. You got everybody out here,
yeah,
with multiple dads and multiple moms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, different moms and different dads, and not knowing that that stuff was happening, mm-hmm, back with your great, 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 great grandparents.
Yeah.
Bringing it into, you know, future. And it's just like, wow, I didn't realize that I was repeating the same cycle,
mm-hmm,
as generations before me.
Right.
But again, if we don't have these conversations, we'll never, ever know.
Right. I want to speak on the weight of trying to break a generational curse. Because I feel like when you become knowledgeable about it and you acknowledge it,
mm-hmm,
then there's this responsibility that comes after that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do you want to continue this? And you having the sole power to literally shift,
mm-hmm,
your bloodline's fortunes,
mm-hmm,
is a lot of weight. And the weight gets added when the people who still carry the generational curses,
yeah,
don't support you,
mm-hmm,
in trying to break it.
That's a,
yeah,
and that's a tricky part.
Yeah.
I know for myself,
mm-hmm,
I went through this spew of depression. I think it hit me the year of 2006, I was going through a lot. Mm-hmm. I was failing college. One of my closest goddaughter, her mom was moving away to Las Vegas, so I was dealing with that, and I just felt like my whole world was crumbling down because I had put a weight on myself of, you know, I'm failing. Everything is like over for me in life. Mm-hmm. And it was not like it was the first time I was failed and failed before, you know, I'd failed in school before. So yeah. It was just like, okay, I have to carry this weight of being able to graduate from college. Like, this is something that I have to do because nobody in my family has graduated from college. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, my aunt was the only person that had graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is something that I have to break. I have to graduate from college. But the weight of me failing at that point in time was just like, how am I going to get over this hump? And I didn't even know, honestly, that I was even in depression. I had never experienced it before. I was just like completely zoned out. And the person that actually recognized that I was in depression was my mom. Mm. Because she had walked through, you know, some things like that before in her younger years. So she was able to tell me, you're walking in depression.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not depressed. Mm-hmm. But as the years progressed on and I continued to look back at that particular situation, mm-hmm. And just looking into depression, there's this category of active depressant. And, you know, I was still functioning, but still sad at the same time. My room was a mess. Mm-hmm. I was procrastinating in everything that I was doing in life. And I was just like, whoa, mm-hmm. I've got to come out of this, but I don't know how. It took a lot of my mom praying, but it ultimately fell on me to pull myself out of that state of depression. And right. It was a good thing that I had the support of my mom mm-hmm. to help me to come out of that place. And everybody doesn't have that.
Nope.
That was in 2006. And so therapy and counseling and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that wasn't in the forefront for people to be going to get that. Because if you was going to get that, that just mean you were psychotic and right. was crazy, right?
Yeah,
especially and people was going to look at you crazy. Yeah. Whereas now, everyone has access to it. If you're going through these different types of things in life, there's somebody there to help you. I think it's very and very important to have a support system mm-hmm. behind you regardless of anything you're going through, because I'm not even going to sit up here and lie. They can't tell me that they ain't been through the stuff that you done been through.
Yeah.
But they don't want to make themselves seem lower,
yep.
right? Because you hold them to this standard. Yeah. But we hold our own selves to a standard, right? We don't want nobody mm-hmm. to look at us different. But ultimately, it's recognizing where you are,
mm-hmm.
Recognizing how to actually pull yourself out of that stump that you're in. Because not only did I realize that I was dealing with depression, but I was dealing with anxiety at the same time.
Yeah.
I've been biting my nails for years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I have other people in my family that are nail biters, but I didn't pay any, you know, attention to it. But then I was like, wait a minute, that's another generational curse. Nail biting, which is attached to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, these things run deeper than what we actually know. But if you actually take the time to actually step back and view your family, you would actually recognize, you know, the things that you struggle with,
mm-hmm.
there's somebody else in your family struggling with mm-hmm. the same thing. If not the same thing, then something similar. But back to trying to pull yourself out, I had to recognize, first of all, because if I didn't recognize, I wouldn't be able to pull myself out. Having someone there to support you is of utmost importance. If it's not your parents, find a friend.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a friend, go to a therapist, go to a counselor, go to your pastor, have somebody there to support you. Because if you don't have that support, you're going to stay in that place, you know, longer than you want to.
Mm-hmm. Talk about, because I feel like, you know, on this journey of breaking generational curses, you have to be ready to break away from.
Yeah.
family members. Mm-hmm. So, which can be obviously kind of hard, but you might have to not, you just have to have that attitude to where, like, look, it's me or you, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna choose me. Like, not only is it me and you, it's me and my future family.
Yeah.
So talk about that angle of having, you know, to be ready to do that if necessary.
That's a tough spot mm-hmm. to actually be in. I can't say that I've actually experienced that myself, mm-hmm. But I can actually see me actually doing that, being, because I know, like, let's take drinking, for example. Mm-hmm. If drinking is a generational curse in your family and you're trying not to do those things, you can't attend family events where there's going to be drinking, right? Yeah. And of course your family's gonna look at you, oh, you too good to hang around us because we do
yeah.
dot dot and dot. Mm-hmm. But it's not that. Yeah. I don't wanna mm-hmm. succumb to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. And if that's something that I actually struggle in and I'm trying to break free of that, then I can't participate in what you're doing, and you're gonna have to understand that.
Right.
And you know, they always wanna be like, you ain't gotta drink, you yeah. ain't gotta. No, if it's a struggle for me and I'm yeah. trying to break free from that,
exactly.
I can't even be in the same environment
right.
as that. And yes, it's going to take some time. Yes, it's mm-hmm. going to take courage. But at the end of the day, this is how people respect you. They built respect for you.
Right.
I know a lot of times when I show up to things, the atmosphere changes mm-hmm. because people know I don't do certain things, right?
Yeah.
I know that was a big thing for my mom. If my mom ever showed up, everybody, if you drinking, put it up.
Yeah.
If you smoking, run away.
Yeah.
Right? But that's just a lifestyle,
yeah.
you know, that you have to live out. I remember in high school, people would always ask me, why are you so happy? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I'm like, that's just not something that I want to participate in. I don't want to be associated with those mm-hmm. type of things. So I don't attend those things or I don't do those things because, you know, that's a struggle that I have in my family. And I know, you know, drinking mm-hmm. is the Black community struggle, right? Because
yeah.
they go to that to
cope.
Escape and mm-hmm. to cope with different things in life. And because I know that's something that I don't want attached to my life, and it's already attached to my life through my bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
I don't want to be in that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sip, because a sip keeps on, you know, it leads to more than that. Because yeah. if I'm using that to mask my pain, at the end of the day, I would become a drunkard.
Yeah. Facts. Speak about, this is also from the spiritual perspective of, you know, once you set out to do something, I always say this, once you say something, you will be challenged on it.
Of course.
On it. So if I come out and say, I'm going to wait to have kids until I'm married,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, do X, Y, Z things and try to break certain things
mm-hmm.
that's been a pattern in my family, I can tell you firsthand of the challenges that will come.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak to that and kind of how you've been able to navigate through those challenges? So yeah.
Without going too deep into the spiritual, but going deep into the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
with every test, there's going to be a trial.
Yeah.
Right? God didn't put us here just to live this happy-go-lucky life. He, you know, he came and died on the cross for us so we wouldn't have to go through, but we're going to go through regardless.
Yeah.
I will say that it's a fight. It's a big fight, especially because I've had people tell me all the time that I'm going to be the one to break the generational curses in my family. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, hold on.
You don't realize how much weight you'd have put on my shoulders, right? And it's just like,
yeah.
I didn't realize as a young teenager when that was spoken over my life, I didn't really too much understand generational curses. I just heard people talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just now coming in and noticing that at 37, mm-hmm. what these generational curses are in my family. And I still don't even know half of them.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's several of them.
Some of them you'll never know.
Some of them I will never know. Yeah. But when I do, when you do recognize those, and it's like, okay, I'm going to set my sights on, I'm not going to have kids before I get married.
Mm.
That right there alone, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
When the devil hears you release that word, it's like, boom.
Yeah.
He taking off in action. You say that's not what you're going to do?
Yep.
Well, let me try you over here. Let me send homeboy over here.
Thanks.
Let me send homegirl over here. And then you like, but I said this is not what I want to do.
Right.
You got to be like, you got to be strong in your faith. Like, I'm not going to say that you're not going to fall. You're going to.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And I think even for me, as I put a lot of weight on myself, and it's like, if I fall, it's like, dang, my whole world is crumbling down. But no, God gave us grace.
Yeah.
Right? He gave us mercy. And all I can say is be prepared to fall, because you're going to fall. Right? The tests and the trials, they come to make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And being a person who believes that God's grace is more than enough for me, it's a hard place to be in, but I know in the end it's going to be rewarding, because I won't have to face some of the things that, you know, generations before me have faced. And it's not to put them down,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, look at it. My kids won't have to deal with this, right? My grandkids, my great-grandkids won't have to deal with this, because I broke that curse off of me. Therefore, I won't have to pass it down to my kids. But that's not to say the least that it ain't going to try to creep back in, right?
Yeah, it will.
Because it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will most definitely try to creep back in. But you as a parent have to recognize when these things are creeping into your children's life, and you're going to have to give them knowledge, not as kids, but even as kids, because my mama always used to tell us as kids, right? Because these kids these days, they different from us growing up back in the day. Their minds are just like, woo. So even them, they understand. And if they don't understand from your grown-up perspective, bring it down to a kid's level, because it starts there.
Yeah.
It starts in the womb. You know what I'm saying? So just trying to break these things off and recognizing, again, is the biggest thing to actually do, is just to recognize at the end of the day and to be prepared to walk through some fiery trials.
Yeah.
Once you release from your mouth, I'm not going to do such and such, I'm going to break this generational curse off my life, be prepared for it to be tested, because it's going to happen.
Facts. I know we're speaking about like big topics, right? I know we're talking about like sex before marriage, you know, alcoholism, but these things can be like something as simple as procrastinating, right?
Yep.
Or something that I've noticed lately is that, you know, I've enjoyed some successes thus far, but I feel like I could have been way further than I am now. And then I look at, like, okay, said person in my family, you know, was doing the same thing. Got to a certain point, pretty successful, but didn't quite get to where they could have got. And so now I'm looking at me, like, dang, I'm doing the same thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a big, like, you know, topic. It could be something very, you know, just like procrastinating, or
it can be,
you know,
lying.
Yeah.
It can be not managing your money well.
Facts.
It can be the simplest thing. Like I said,
right,
like about my nail body thing. I didn't even realize until I sat back and I was like, wait, they're a nail biter, and linking that to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's the smallest
yes.
things. Not cleaning up.
Yeah.
That's a generational curse right there. Because if you go back and be like, well, they dirty. I'm dirty too.
Ooh,
so
it's a pattern there.
You know, once you start seeing a pattern of something in your family, that's a generational curse.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Right.
If it doesn't carry a pattern,
yeah,
then it's like, okay, well, then that's just something that I need to take care of. But when you see that pattern of that thing in your family, it's just like, wait, that's a generational curse, and I need to break that.
Right. I'm glad we're having this conversation because I feel like whenever I, you know, ponder mm-hmm. on like our family, I think so much could have been resolved through simple communicating.
Of course.
And listening.
Of course.
It's like the majority of the problems, it's like, it's not even that big of a deal. It's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of confusion that doesn't even need to be there. And you start thinking of like of people's backstories, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and like you were saying, you had your mom, you know, was that person for you. And I'm looking at these people, I'm like, I don't think they had, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
they didn't have that person.
Yeah, because in our family, it's a lot of people. It's a lot very of big, folks, you know big. What I mean? So it's like, you know, did that person have somebody and, you know, they're lashing out because of what they went through? And it's like, and it's funny because every time there's something like in the going on in the group chat, you know, we'll say somebody be like, therapy. You know what I mean?
Facts.
And that's very true. Facts. Like, I think therapy is a very important tool to breaking generational curses. Mm-hmm.
I think just, people just yeah. going into therapy, mm-hmm. It's, and even when I was looking into going into therapy, they're not there to give you advice.
Right.
They're there to help you recognize mm-hmm. where things began and where they are now.
Yeah.
It's almost like a buffering between you and your situation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're in the situation, you don't recognize.
Yeah.
You're blinded to everything, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, when I had that depression, I didn't know I was in depression, but somebody outside of me was able to see, hey, you walking in this,
yeah.
you might want to do such and such.
Right.
It's like losing weight. Hey, you don't realize that you're gaining weight, but that person over there, like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't put on 5 pounds. And I'm like, what? Really? Where you see that at?
Yeah.
So it takes you stepping outside of yourself mm-hmm. to recognize what you're going through. And I believe that therapy is an excellent tool for that. And if you don't feel comfortable going to therapy, mm-hmm. find a friend.
Yeah.
Go to your pastor. Find a minister. You know, find your parents. Somebody there to mm-hmm. tell you, hey, this is what you're going through. You might want to do dot, dot, dot.
Right.
I know as young folk and even as old folks, mm-hmm. and when people start telling us about ourselves, we get all defensive, yeah, right?
You literally read my mind right now because I was just about to say that, you know, a lot of people will be so judgmental
yes.
and to the parent, to their parents or whoever, is that they are in denial
yes.
that they're doing the same thing,
yeah.
you know, because they want to separate themselves from that person. Yes. So they're like, that's a horrible person. This person did that. I don't do that, but you really do.
Yeah.
So, and that's another component to breaking generational curses is being real with yourself.
Yeah.
And because you are repeating the patterns.
And not even knowing, because we right. look at it as mm-hmm. normal.
Right.
Right.
It's just how we are.
That ain't normal. That ain't how you supposed to be
living.
We
just fight. We fight like this.
No. You know, and I grew, you know, yeah. we grow up thinking those things are normal
right.
until we get older and we see how other people function.
Yeah.
We like, wait a minute.
Something wrong with these folks.
We start yeah. thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How y'all yeah. don't argue? How y'all don't talk about each other? How yeah. That's not how we supposed to
right.
live.
Right.
Right. But because of the trauma mm-hmm. that we've been through, because of the shame we've experienced,
yeah.
This is how we live out our life the best way we know how.
Yeah.
And I think the Black community itself, mm-hmm. you know, as a whole, we've gotten some stuff passed down to us because we felt that those things were normal. I yeah. experienced this with my parents. I mean, now I'm experiencing it with my grandparents, and it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This stuff is not, this ain't normal, because when I go to somebody else's house.
Yeah, they ain't doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Facts. And also, I just thought about this. So this is another reason. You know, God didn't really give these rules and these structure for no reason. So, you know, there's a reason behind all this. So, also, be knowledgeable. Be alert, B, look into your partner's family.
Facts.
Because we're talking about generational curses, right? And you're getting ready to procreate with this person.
Facts.
And look over there. Ask questions right? about their family. Because whatever's going on over there
is
coming through your child. Yeah. And you're going to have to be the one to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, my girlfriend and I, you know, we talk about this all the time. And I'm like, okay. You know, some things, you know, we both tell each other. It's like, all right, you know, but at least we know what to attack,
yeah.
You know, through prayer and through, you know, our parenting. We know what to attack or to look out for already because we had those conversations.
I think those are harder conversations to have because you're not necessarily worried about that person's family because you're so in love
right. That
you don't care what mm-hmm. they're going through.
Yeah.
No, you need to sit down and y'all need to have those conversations because what you feel as normal, she look as abnormal.
Right.
Right. And when y'all become one, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was marrying into this. What happened?
Oh.
Right. So those are hard conversations to have, but they're necessary conversations to be had before you step into marriage mm-hmm. with anybody. I know those are some things that I was asking God. You know, I'm like, okay, God, I've been sitting here and I've been waiting to get married, but I'm like, that's a hard place to step in because I don't know what they're dealing with.
Right.
Right. And a lot of people tend to shadow over those things because they don't want to look bad.
Yeah.
Right. And they want to look like the good person. But at the end of the day, these are mm-hmm. things that I need to know because mm-hmm. that stuff going to be passed down to my kids and eventually my grandkids. I need to know what I'm dealing with.
Facts.
And, you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't surface until you've been married for, you know, a certain amount of years. Everything you walk into, you know, walking through the daisies, mm-hmm. you know, during the dating phase and the first year of marriage phase. Yeah. And then after that, you start seeing stuff. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
So that is an important conversation to be had. And I think us as, you know, even the younger generation under us, these are conversations that have to be had. They have to be had, but because we haven't been taught mm-hmm. how to have these conversations or to even have these conversations, it's harder for us. I think right now in this day and age that we're living in, we're learning a lot from social media, and that's just crazy, but it's the truth.
A lot of groupthink.
Mm-hmm. We're learning a lot of things from TikTok. You learn a lot of things from Instagram. You learn a lot of things from Facebook. And it's just like, I thought I was the only person dealing with this. No, we all out here dealing with this. At the end of the day, everybody, it doesn't. And generational curse does not care how old you are.
Nope.
It don't care your nationality.
Nope.
It does not care if you're male or female. It's going to attack you regardless.
Yeah.
And it's just like different ethnicities mm-hmm. know how to have these conversations. And I believe that we can actually, you know, we can learn mm-hmm. from different cultures. My parents talk about this all the time because we live out in a neighborhood where, you know, a lot of Middle Eastern families, they live together. It'd be like 10, 15 of them in one house.
Yeah.
And we make this joke all the time.
It can be
we
us.
We could never. Yeah.
No.
We could never. But, you know, mm-mm. my mom says this all the time, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we?
Right.
They do it. Why can't we? Because we live with these different generational curses that have not been attacked.
Yeah.
You know, we live. You know, back in the day, you know, we was too worried about being free.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at my brother and them and my uncle and them because they live together, you know, in these small houses.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I want my own.
Right. I got my freedom.
I don't want to live with these folks no more.
Yeah.
But, you know, other nationalities have never experienced mm-hmm. what we've gone through.
Yeah.
And
that's a generational curse on a macro,
on a
larger
right?
scale. That got, you know, we can talk about generational curses from slavery from that we all experienced, just not even in our own families, just period as African Americans. So this is a whole thing.
Deeper than what we even know.
Right.
You know, even dealing with, you know, the poverty spirit. It's like,
yeah.
I go out here and I buy.
Right.
But I don't ever have no money. But yeah. Why I'm buying? And then I'll be like, wait a minute. My auntie be doing it.
Yeah.
My uncle be doing it.
Yeah.
And you be like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cycle that just keeps repeating
itself. You even have
itself.
Colorism, you know.
That part.
But you know, it's a lot. It's a whole, but this could be a 3-hour conversation. But piggybacking off of getting to know your spouse's family's history is, you know, and I've been good at this. Because I just like asking questions about this kind of stuff. But you should also ask questions about your family's history. So I've been blessed. Not everybody's been this blessed, but, you know, I have full access. I'm 28. So for 28 years, I've had access to my great-grandparent. I have more than one great-grandparent, you know what I mean? And so I ask questions because it interests me to know the family history. So, you know, I sit there, you know, because they want to. Old people want to talk because they don't
they
have nobody
do.
To talk
they
to.
Do.
So you can get so much information out of them because they waiting on somebody to talk to them, especially a younger person. So, you know, I'm asking, like, why is so-and-so like this? Or what happened there? Or why you did this? Or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the information that you will get was so valuable and it will help you on your journey, you know what I mean? Just asking these questions and you start trying to piece them together. I remember, you know, me and my mom were having a conversation about, you know, somebody older in our family and we just recently got a backstory. Oh, she, you know, this happened to her when she was this age and that happened to her. That's why she's like that. You know what I mean? Like, I got it. You know what I mean? She just wasn't that way for no reason.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because every emotion is connected to something. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay. So you get that understanding. Also what it does, not only does it help you, it helps you understand that person better, which in turn might help your relationship.
I think even from the class that I took, it's they taught us that we have to separate the person from their actions. Because we don't know what this person has gone through.
Yeah.
And the person and their actions are two separate things. Because a person could be rude and, you know, outlandish and all these other kind of stuff. And you don't know why. And that you think is you, but you think is them. But you don't know that when they were younger, they were left at home for hours. And so now, you know, they have the fear of even trying to connect with someone.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we don't have to know someone's backstory, right? We try to tend to need to be more understanding than what we are.
Yeah.
Because as a black folk, we don't try to be understanding.
Yeah.
Because if you coming at me, I'm coming at you back.
Right.
Right? We don't take the time to understand why a person is the way they
and
are.
Even parenting is like that. You would think, like, you know, your mom caught it. She knew what it was.
Yeah.
But a lot of black parents, you know, would have taken, okay, you know, they would have taken that as this person's acting out. Like,
she
she don't want to talk no more. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know what I mean?
You
all
got
these
attitude.
You got an attitude and all these side and all these side remarks instead of like, okay, something is wrong with my child.
Yeah.
Let me be patient
and
understand why. Like, you can be, there's a way to parent. I'm not a parent, so, but I can say this.
You can still.
I can
say. Because you're a child.
Right. All right. Thank you. There's a way to be patient.
Yeah.
With also, you know, letting your child know you're not going to get out of line.
We can
talk, but you're not going to overstep a boundary. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to respect me. But which they'll do anyway, because if you raise them correctly.
Exactly.
So just be patient, you know, and just listen.
That'd I think so in much. That because I can speak on that because I, you know, I deal with kids every day.
Yeah.
And just seeing how different people parent.
Mm-hmm.
This generation parents way more differently than the generations before me and the generations before them.
Yeah.
The generations that's raising kids now are my age, right? Yeah. And so the way we were raised was do what I said and do it now.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to ask questions.
Nope.
Right? And so I know for me, I tend to teach that way.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, go put those toys up, don't ask me why.
Yeah.
Right? But I had this epiphany, even with my own self. I was like, wait a minute. I'm starting to sound like my parents. Because as a kid, I wanted to know why, but I better not ask why.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get a whooping, right?
Because I said so.
Let's do it because I said so.
Yeah.
But other parents have taken the time out to explain to their kids.
Yeah.
Why I got to put up this toy? Because we're getting ready to do such and such.
Yeah.
What harm is it to explain to your kids why they have to do something?
Because unknowingly, and also, let me say this, that's probably a result of slavery. Our masters,
I can see that.
You know, we can ask why.
Yeah.
You know, you better pick that cotton. That's just the end of the story. So we took that way of managing or whatever and pass that down to our kids, but also that came from survival,
of course,
because I don't have time to explain to you
why
we just need to do it. So it's so many components once again as to why we do what we do. So but I think, you know, you should take time to explain things to your kids, because on one angle, you're killing the inquisitiveness. Like, you want to keep your kids curious. You know what I mean? That's how they learn.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they become
how they
change the world. You know what I mean? Like, because they were allowed the space to be inquisitive. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, hopefully we have, you know, giving you some insight and some direction, and also ourselves, you know, some direction on, you know, how to navigate generational curses, how to set our families on the right path that we want them to go. It's a very challenging road, but it's a necessary one. Shardace, you have any closing remarks?
No, I just think the most important thing to take from this is recognizing what you're going through, recognizing the generational curses, sitting down and having these hard conversations with your family.
Yeah.
If it's not your parents, have it with your grandparents. Have it with your siblings, because I know me and my brother, we sit down and sometimes and we talk about the things that we do see going on in our family.
Mm.
But communication is a big thing. I know, you know, most of us aren't taught to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older, you realize how important it is. But recognizing is the first step to knowing that you even have a generational curse going on in your family.
Right. There it is. You can't heal what you never reveal. True. That is it for this episode. Peace.